ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, text number 49 and 50. On the board we have text number 50.
Shrayavej,
Shradadananam, Tirthapada, Padashraya, Necham, Tatratmanatmanam, Santushta, Iti, Siddhyati, Shravayet Shradadananam, Kirtapada Padashraya, Necham Satratmanatmanam, Santushta Iti Siddhyati, Shravayet Shradadhananam, Kirtapada Padashraya, Necham Satratmanatmanam, Santushta Iti Siddhyati, Shravayet Shradadhananam, Tirthapada Padashraya, Necham Satratmanatmanam, Santushta Iti Siddhyati,
Santushta Iti Siddhyati,
Yeah. I'll read the word meaning for both verses.
Purnamashyam.
On the full moon.
Sinibhavyam.
On the dark moon.
Vadashyam.
On the day after Ekadasi.
Shravane.
During the Shravan star's appearance.
Tava
or
Dinashaye
at the end of the titi.
Vyatipate,
a particular day of the name.
Sankrame,
at the end of the month.
Arkadine,
on Sunday.
Ati,
also.
Va,
or
Shravayat,
one should recite.
Shradadananam,
to a receptive audience.
Tirthapada,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Pada Ashraya,
taken shelter of the lotus feet.
Na Ichan,
without desiring remuneration.
Tatra,
there.
Atmana,
by the self.
Atmanam,
the mind.
Santushta,
pacified.
Iti,
thus.
Siddhyati,
becomes perfect.
Translation.
Persons who have taken complete shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadasi, on the appearance of the Shravan star at the end of a particular titi, or the occasion of Vyatipata at the end of the month, or on Sunday. Such recitation should, of course, be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience becomes perfect. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies, but they cannot make any spiritual improvement or become perfect. It is therefore strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood. Only one who is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on Him for personal maintenance, or even for maintenance of his family, can attain perfection by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. The process can be summarized as follows. The audience must be faithfully receptive to the Bhagavata message, and the reciter should completely depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavata recitation must not be a business. If done in the right way, not only does the reciter achieve perfect satisfaction, but the Lord also is very satisfied with the reciter and the audience, and thus both are liberated from material bondage, simply by the process of hearing. I'll read the translation again. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadasi, on the appearance of the Shravana star at the end of a particular titi, or the occasion of Yatipata at the end of the month, or on Sunday. Such recitation should of course be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed this way without professional motive, the reciter and audience become perfect. Om Jnana Tumaram Dasya Yanandana Shalakaya Chaksuram Vilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maitreya Muni is speaking this verse, including, there's another verse still, but almost coming to the end of this chapter, and describing particular circumstances, situations, auspicious days, when it is good to recite this narration of the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. Of course, every day is auspicious when the Lord is glorified. There's a common Sanskrit saying, Subhashya Sigram. Something which is auspicious should be done immediately. Something we used to say when we would go for life membership, to preach to people in Calcutta, ask them to become a life member, they would always say, give me some time, give me some time. So then we would say, Subhashya Sigram, something which is auspicious, you should do it immediately, don't delay. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly auspicious. However, Maitreya has picked certain days when it's particularly beneficial. And he is describing also importance of the qualification of the speaker and the audience. A reciprocation is there. The process of hearing and chanting is not individual, but there's a transcendental reciprocation there between the speaker and the audience. The speaker's qualification is described, first of all, saying, one particularly, he should not be thinking of some remuneration that I will get this money, they will give me this donation, or I want this fee for speaking. The tendency is there, it has become fashionable in this present times. We know that people are accustomed to have. They organize these Bhagavat Saptas. Although there is no mention that Srimad Bhagavatam should only be spoken for 7 days, people have picked up on this fashion, has become fashionable, that they will have a big program for 7 days and invite people to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Bhagavatam is a Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, should be heard constantly. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then all that is inauspicious within the heart of the candidate becomes eradicated almost in them. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for casual hearing as people do when they have these Bhagavat Saptas. And too often the motivation behind these Bhagavat Saptas is not to purify the heart, but rather
that maybe, oh, we're going to build a new school, or we're going to help build this hospital, or we want to get donations for this charity. It becomes something mundane. So this type of activity is not encouraged. And often, also, we find that nowadays even impersonalism, the Mayavadi philosophers have taken to speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada told us that Vrindavan used to be the place only for the Vaishnavas. But nowadays so many Mayavadi groups are also there in Vrindavan. And they not only live in Vrindavan, but they also speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Although Shankaracharya never touched Srimad Bhagavatam. But nowadays, because Srimad Bhagavatam has become somewhat popular, because there's some interest in the public there, so the Mayavadi people are also daring to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam and put their own interpretations into it. So when Prabhupada speaks here how the speaker should not be interested in any remuneration, Prabhupada is indicating the speaker must be simply motivated for the pleasure of Krishna. He's simply speaking for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Krishna. His interest is not to satisfy the senses of the audience. I saw this one time in London when Srila Prabhupada came. It was Janmashtami. And many people had come to the temple and they were all expecting that Prabhupada would speak on Krishna Leela and talk some, you know, pastimes of Krishna. And Prabhupada simply spoke Bhagavad Gita philosophy, explaining the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's birth and appearance and the reason for his appearing in this world. So Prabhupada and all the devotees in this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, all the acharyas, they never compromised. We saw especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Prabhupada that he was also very bold in his speaking. That he was known as Narsimha Guru, that he would speak very strongly. And sometimes people would feel disturbed and threatened. But he did not compromise. He was simply, it was not that he was being inimical towards them, but he was just simply encouraging them to come to the platform of pure devotional service. Speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is not just, it's not something, just some recreation, but the business of Bhagavatam recitation is to purify the heart. To go deep into the heart and take out all the material attachment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one where Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova Vibho Vipadita Greha Vratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punas Punacharvita Chardamanam. That if a person has determined to remain, that made their vow to remain in material existence, this greha vrat, to remain in the bondage of material life, then they're not going to make progress by even they hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If they have made this determination to stay in the material bondage of life, then how can they hope to progress? So Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be spoken strongly, to cut the knot of material attachment. Srimvatam Sukhita Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Riti Antastohiya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suritatam. Sri Krishna, the Super Soul within the heart of all living entities, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment for those who relish his message. So,
The speaker has to speak forcibly to impress it onto the audience. But the audience also have to be receptive. If the speaker is not a devotee, it will not have any effect. Avaishnava mukhavirnam putam harikatam ritam shravane shravane naiva kartavyam sakpochistam yatha paya. That just like milk, when it is touched by the lips of a serpent, then it will have poisonous effect. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam, when it is spoken by a non-devotee, then it will not have any effect. Rather, it will have a poisonous effect. The effect being that people's material attachments will increase. If we simply go and hear some non-devotee, some Avaishnava speaking, and maybe he will even dare to speak on Rasa Leela, then certainly it will be very harmful to us. A materialistic person's his desires will simply increase. Rather than be purified, he will simply become more attached to the material enjoyment. So very important that the speaker cannot be business-minded. He cannot simply be thinking to flatter the audience and to encourage them in their material life. I remember one time going to hear some person come from India. He had gone to address the community, this community residing in Hong Kong, and he was telling them, you don't have to worry about death. At the time of death, you will see all your old friends, you will meet all your old friends. Nothing to worry about. Yeah. And they're thinking, oh, so nice, so good. Yeah. So this is the ignorance of materialistic people. Just like Prabhupada in London, he went to meet one man, a very aristocratic gentleman in England. And the man was saying to Prabhupada, I will die peacefully. And Prabhupada laughed at him and said, oh, you think so, huh? You think you will die peacefully, but not so peaceful to go to hell. Into the hellish life, not so peaceful. So the speaker has to speak with the purpose of detaching people from their material existence. Generally, people are influenced by impersonal philosophy. Prabhupada said in Hinduism, whenever you scratch the surface a little bit, you will see some impersonalism there. And this is brought out nicely in Chaitanya Leela. There's one very instructive pastime. A Bengali poet had come to Jagannath Puri, and he had written something, and he was very desirous of reading it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the system was that because Lord Chaitanya was so famous and popular, many people would often come and they would write things and they wanted to come and read it to Lord Chaitanya. But if there were some fault, if there were some overlapping of mellows, what is called rasabhas, if there were some contradictory mellows, in other words, some tinge of Mayavada philosophy, some impersonalism there, then Lord Chaitanya would be very upset and angry. So rather than risk the anger of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was the system that Swarup Damodar Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secretary, would first of all hear whatever had been written. And if he was satisfied with it, then it could be read to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar Maharaj was doing this service. So this Bengali poet came, and he had some friendship with one of Lord Chaitanya's associates named Bhagwan Acharya. And he had read it to Bhagwan Acharya and all the other friends, many other devotees who were living there in Jagannath Puri. And they all heard this Bengali poet's work, and they were thinking, yes, very nice, very nice, why not? So then they were saying, you know, they said to Swarup Damodar Maharaj, we should read this, you should allow it to be read to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar Goswami was suspicious, and he was warning that, you know, are you sure, are you absolutely certain there's no rasa vasa there? So finally, after 3 days of pleading, Swarup Damodar Goswami agreed to hear the poetry written by this Bengali gentleman. So when he heard the introductory verse, then he asked the poet, he said, explain this to me, what is your meaning of this? But when he explained it, when he gave the explanation, it was full of rasapas, full of Mayavadi interpretation, because he was describing that the form of Lord Jagannath is matter, is made of material elements. So this is an offense. Lord Jagannath is a deity, and the deity is never matter. And then he was also describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ordinary living entity, when Mahaprabhu should be described as the Supreme Lord. So there were serious errors there. And when Swarup Damodar Goswami heard this, when he asked the Brahmana to explain, and when the Brahmana explained in this way that Jagannath is made of matter and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a living entity, then Swarup Damodar Maharaj chastised him. And he told him, very important, but it's Bhagavata Puridi Bhagavata Stani, or Bhagavati Puridi Vaishnavera Stani. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to hear it from a Vaishnava or from a person Bhagavata. We cannot just hear Srimad Bhagavatam anywhere or from anyone, but you must hear it from the qualified person. And the qualified person is one who has heard it in the cyclic succession from the acharyas. Just like the sages in Naimasharanya, they were the serious audience, receptive audience, and they were eager to hear. And Sutta Goswami was a qualified speaker. He was empowered to speak. Sutta Goswami, he had been blessed by Lord Balaram. He had heard Srimad Bhagavatam previously when it was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. So in this way, he was qualified. The speaker's qualification is, the speaker must be free of vice. If the speaker is a sinful person, if he is of dubious character, then no matter what he speaks, it cannot have effect. Because people will be thinking, well, although he's speaking like this, I know he's doing like that. We're seeing some fault, some contradiction, that he's saying one thing and doing another. So how can we take his words seriously? The speaker must be pure in character. Prabhupada said the purpose, in one purport, Prabhupada describes the purpose of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to train people to go and speak on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are free from sin. They follow regulated principles.
And we never place demands on the audience that I want remuneration, you have to pay me for this. And if the speaker also encourages the audience in anything which is not Shuddha Bhakti, which is not in line with pure devotion, then that is also material. It is not for their benefit. From the very beginning, Srila Vyasadeva has described the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma prajita kaitava cha paramo nirmatsara namasatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth. It completely rejects all religious principles which are materially motivating. Yet if there's any tinge of material motivation in our speaking of the Krishna conscious philosophy, then this is not Shuddha Bhakti. It is not for the benefit of the audience. The speaker has to be qualified, the audience also have to be qualified. What is the qualification for the audience? Is Krishna consciousness not for everyone? Yes, it is for everyone. But still, there's a qualification. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he had some material desire. Was he qualified to hear? Yeah, he was qualified. Why? Because his eagerness to hear. This is very important qualification. That we want to hear. Therefore, we hear with full attention. This is the qualification of the audience. They hear carefully and then they also inquire. This is the business of the audience. Even though they may know something, but still they can inquire for the sake of allowing the speaker to elaborate further on a topic which may not have been covered so well in the course of his speaking. This is the business of the audience. We see Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all the revealed scriptures. They're full of questions and answers. And these questions and answers are all in relation to the Absolute Truth. So this is Krishna consciousness. Our Krishna conscious society gives great importance, great emphasis on this process of hearing and chanting. We see many other religious institutions are there, but they do not provide the opportunity for their members to hear and chant. They do not educate their members so carefully in the principles of religion as described in scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So, all of us, as devotees in this Krishna consciousness movement, we have to appreciate the responsibilities which are put on us, both the speaker and the audience. We have this responsibility. If we become influenced by material desires, it will certainly influence our potency in trying to present the Krishna conscious philosophy. And also, as an audience, we want to purify ourselves. We have to be submissive, to be willing to accept what is presented to us. And while inquiry is encouraged, there's also some standard of inquiry. That the inquiry should not be of a challenging nature. We saw sometimes Srila Prabhupada was not so much inclined after a while to accept questions from the audience because he saw that there was a tendency among some of the audiences to put challenging questions. For example, they would say sometimes, why do you have to sit on the big chair above everyone? Or they would say that, why you have to have rings, wear a ring on your finger? we would ask questions like this, which were not really in relation to the subject matter of Bhagavad, which were more of a challenging question. So Prabhupada did not appreciate these kinds of questions. If people have these questions and have these doubts, they can raise them privately. They can select a devotee and go and inquire privately about these things. But these kind of questions should not be brought publicly in front of an audience, in front of an assembly of people. There's a proper time and place for these kinds of questions. Another point which comes to mind is, someone may be thinking, well, I'm a householder. Now, I want to preach Srimad Bhagavatam. How can I preach Srimad Bhagavatam if I can't get remuneration from speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? This thinking may come to mind because we do have a lot of very qualified householder devotees who are also preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. So, how should they adjust the situation? Prabhupada describes in the purport, they should simply depend on Krishna. Depend on the mercy of Krishna. Just as sannyasis and brahmacharis travel and preach and depend on the mercy of Krishna, they also do not demand remuneration for their preaching services, but they simply depend on Krishna's mercy. In the same way, one may be a householder in maintaining a family. There is no barrier. He's also qualified to speak on Krishna consciousness if he knows the science of Krishna. But he also has to depend on Krishna's mercy. This is only proper. We don't want to make any business out of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as a brahmana never wants to take service from others. A brahmana always, he will not take the position of a vaishya or a sudra. He's a brahmana. His duty is to be independent. And if he becomes dependent on others, then he has to adjust his preaching and his speaking has to be toned in order to please that person who is maintaining him. You become a brahmana and you're in the service of some wealthy man, then you have to be subordinate to this wealthy man who's maintaining you. This is not a good situation for a brahmana because he has to just simply work and act according to what pleases the person who is maintaining him. So a devotee of Krishna is surrendered to Krishna. How to recognize a devotee? It's important because we're talking about the speaker of Bhagavatam. He must be a devotee, right? He must be a devotee without any material desire. So the question may be raised, how to recognize a devotee? There are 26 qualities of a devotee. From these 26 qualities, 25 qualities are tatastha, marginal qualities. But there is the swarupa lakshana. There's tatastha lakshana and swarupa lakshana. Swarupa lakshana means that quality which is always present. And tatastha lakshana, these qualities, they're sometimes visible, sometimes not visible. But there's this one quality of these 26 qualities, one quality is swarupa lakshana. And this quality is that they're surrendered to Krishna. They're fully surrendered to Krishna. Here we talk about surrender. What is the sign that one is surrendered to Krishna? There are six symptoms of surrender. Anukulyasya sankopa, pratikulyasya vajanam. accepting everything favorable for Krishna's service, rejecting what is not favorable, then also knowing that only Krishna can maintain us, that we have been maintained by Krishna, and only Krishna can protect us. These are also symptoms of surrender. A surrendered devotee knows that he is maintained by the grace of Krishna. Sometimes people used to challenge, I think it even came on, a television interviewer was asking about the devotees that you go up, because you know in the 1970s, not so much true nowadays, but in the 1970s we were always seen on the streets and running after people, selling them books and trying to get donations from them. So a television interviewer asked that, you know, you seem to live off society. You make a point of living off society, that they maintain you. But the devotee replied, no, we live by the grace of Krishna. We are simply dependent on the grace of Krishna. So, devotee does not compromise in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to speak the absolute truth. The message must be clear, without compromise. We're not doing business. Business means you give something, you get something back. But devotional service means you're not doing any business. You're not looking for anything in return. You're just simply speaking the absolute truth for the benefit of the audience, that they will also understand. And if even one person understands, then that is beneficial than a whole bunch of people who simply hear Rasa Leela and laugh and joke and go back to their material life enjoying the Griha Andakupam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for cutting that knot of material attachments. People are generally inclined to hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, but a lot of people are also afraid to hear Srimad Bhagavatam because it's so powerful, so clear, that we have to understand the problems of material existence. And we have to get out of this attachment to material life by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and by hearing it from the proper source, then we can be greatly benefited. Another relevant verse, which is also a very important verse, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, verse number 4. Nivritta tasher, is it those who are not attached to anything material, then they can properly hear the message, they can speak this message of Krishna consciousness, the science of Krishna consciousness. It is delivered by them when we are free from material attachment. People who cannot hear verses, one who is the killer of animals or the killer of his own self, then that person, he cannot understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. But another person, just simply by giving reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing from the right source, then they can be purified. So this point is made in this verse, that the importance of the speaker and the audience. The speaker's qualification is that he is well versed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and he is without sin, he has no material motive. And the audience's qualification is that they are receptive, enthusiastic and eager to hear, attentive, and also willing to inquire. Gaura Govinda Maharaj describes about the crooked person, that They hear and they don't understand. And then the teacher says, do you understand? They'll say, yes, I understand. You know, they're not straightforward. Saravata ya Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is straightforward. If they don't understand, they have to say, this is not clear, I don't understand. They cannot hide the facts. But we often get people, they're hearing, yes, okay. They don't understand, they don't accept, but they say, all right, and just go away. So like this, qualifications are there. And then when both are qualified, then the process of hearing and chanting is very powerful and is very pleasing to the Lord. Okay, so we will stop here. We'll ask if there are some questions. Okay, some questions are there. Vasudev Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for this excellent class. The topic of remuneration captures my attention. The way you present it makes sense to me. To depend on Krishna instead of having some sort of security or salary or that we can count on, which can also be presented as depending on Krishna, which has the advantage that one doesn't have to worry about making a living. One can just be encouraged to preach being a householder, then there are the children's school fees, etc. So it seems that all over the world, the tendency has been lately, in the last few years, that there is such a thing as regular remuneration to encourage the householders to preach, as opposed to working hard to make a living, which usually means there is no time left for preaching. So can you please comment on this practical reality?
Okay, so my understanding is that where remuneration is given to the householders to encourage them to preach, that remuneration is on a level to allow their subsistence, basic subsistence of material life, not for their excessive sense gratification, that they can accumulate more and more money and they can make their house more and more luxurious and get a newer car, but the subsistence wage is given so that they can maintain their basic livings on a humble standard, a level suitable, which will allow them to also continue in Krishna consciousness. Then that's very good. I think that was how I understood it, that, you know, we don't expect householders to be accumulating a lot of money in the bank and saving up for their holidays and going off to France for the holiday, you know, summer holidays coming, where will we go for the holiday this year, you know, and this is when we spend all our money, you know. No, but, you know, living simply and just basic means, depending on Krishna. You know, of course, we may send householders also, we can send them to the holy Dham for their purification and for their enlightenment, that they can come back and do more service for Krishna. That's reasonable. So there's some standards there, it has to be properly adjusted. Intelligence. Prabhupada said, how will our movement go on when we talk to Giriraj Truti? Organization and intelligence. So like that, when we can organize properly with intelligence that we provide for the householders, that they can continue preaching, and at the same time, they can remain detached from the material, you know, material, path of material progress. So that's important, how I see it.
Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada didn't comment on the Tithi, the month, the day of the week and all that, when one should hear Srila Prabhupada come to the purport. And according to your understanding, do you think this is along the same line of the material benedictions that are offered in some of the previous encourage people who want that type of thing? Or is it really that these are like a codicil or karti where it's a spiritual magnification?
Certain days may be more pleasing to Krishna. As you say, a codicil is more pleasing. More pleasing to Krishna. Krishna's day, a day, you know, we should definitely want to do something there for the pleasure of Krishna. So these days are selected, particular days in the calendar and given to us, where it's particularly appropriate for reciting these things. Of course, every day is auspicious for hearing and chanting. So it can also work both ways. Some people need to be encouraged. You need to hear that, oh, this day is more auspicious, so you should do it this day. If we just say every day, think, well, it doesn't matter when I do it, so we'll never do it. You know, think, well, one day we'll do it, you know. But they hear, no, this is the, oh, now it's Shravan. Okay, Shravan, this is the time, we have to do it, this is Shravan. So it's an impetus and it's some encouragement is there, yeah, to push people into doing these things. Yeah.
Along the same lines as the enumeration, the other half of what you described about that is the independence. And in my observation, growing up in the Christian conference movement, and with my family, was independently of the temple. Whenever I go to the temple and there was some controversy or conflict or something, the devotees that are living humbly, living humble lifestyles, maintained just an intensity by the temple, they didn't feel comfortable to address any grievance or when there was something clearly not working. Even coming as a child, I remember, where did my friend go? And then I found out that their parents, they were discharged from their service and had to move away. And like that. So, the other side is how to maintain that independence. I would people to come to me and say, Kuba, can you go to the top of the president and complain about this? And go, why don't you do it? You live here, you see him every day. I just come, you know, a couple days a week, and why do I have to always have that? Bring up something controversial. So, I don't know. That's my question.
Well, you know, I can't answer this. This is a management question, you know. Every temple has their own particular problems, and these things will definitely come up in different places from time to time. You know, sometimes it's a change in management. People have to move. Some people are told to give up a service like that. So, you have to depend on Krishna. You know, you have to see these things also as Krishna's arrangement. And so devotees sometimes have to be willing to move, to go from one place, move from one temple, go to another temple, find some service in some other place. We can't be so attached. And some people prefer not to move in, not to become full-time devotees. We see that tendency more these days. And you know, in the early days, everyone would become full-time. Nowadays, there's a tendency not to move it because of the problems which you described. That people feel that, you know, I'm not going to put myself in that situation, being dependent and like that. So it's difficult. Everyone has to consider their own individual situation and circumstances depending on their own level of Krishna consciousness, how much commitment they're able to make to the Krishna consciousness movement. If they're worried about this, then maybe it's better for them to keep their independence and just depend on Krishna without being full-time in the Krishna consciousness movement. But if you know you're really completely sold out to Krishna, then you know you can become a full-time devotee, you can move in, and you know, you can make it. There's a lot of householders within the movement who are doing very well, who are very happy. We just have to be surrendered. And sometimes things may be, decisions may be made which we don't like. There may be some organization and management things which we don't like. But we have to put up with it to go on with our preaching, with our Krishna consciousness. The important thing is to keep up our service for Krishna. So where you do it, what service you do, that's not so important. So be flexible.
Prabhupada. Why don't you mention to your friends? She mentioned that the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam results in the disappearance of all the auspicious things within our heart. Almost everything is destroyed in hell. Which auspicious things will not be destroyed, and why is it?
Which inauspicious things will not be destroyed?
Which it says it's almost
destroyed. Destroyed almost to nil. What is the answer to that? What is the answer to that question? How do the acharyas answer that?
Actually, that purport, I mean, looking for that purport, it's not really directly answered either. But what I seem to understand is that ultimately, to get praying, that's a, there's no cause of that, that's coming from Krishna. So there's a mechanical thing you can do to make Krishna look at it. This might get a result. That's what happens in the material. In the spiritual, ultimately, Krishna's mercy that you find you get praying. So you can't just say, just because I heard Srimad Bhagavatam, where's my praying? I heard it. There's no time, place, rule, or anything for when you're going to hear it. So therefore, you can say it's almost, you have almost arrived at the point. That's why I'm. And if you're using that purport, the big problem isn't really talk about that with the meal part of the Maharaj. If you read that line, I don't know if that's the way I do it.
Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, you could probably give a good answer to that.
Read the verses after them. It's talking about the effect of healing, the gradual effect that is there. So immediately one is much purified, and you go on hearing and chanting, and Tadara Dastamo Bhava, etc. So that's just the first stage. Full purification comes by more and more hearing and chanting. You can read all the verses. I was going to ask out of curiosity, because I've never been to a Bhagavan Saptaha, and I don't know, just out of curiosity, what they look like and what goes on at a Bhagavan Saptaha, especially the kind of being disparaged here in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, the kind which is being dispersed here in Srimad Bhagavatam, the professional reciters of Bhagavatam, they may go through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. They would pick some, especially they'll give a lot of importance to like Rasa Lila and talking of the pastimes of Krishna. They'll just generally encourage the frivolous nature of people. They don't purify their heart. They're not speaking the message of Srimad Bhagavatam to take out material desires, but they're just encouraging their material life, presenting the Rasa Lila, Krishna, and the gopis, and people are seeing the whole thing in a mundane way. So people come and they think they're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, they say, I went to Bhagavat Sapta, but they come out of the Srimad Bhagavatam after 7 days more contaminated than they were before the 7 days, more attached. We do have our own devotees at the present. In this time we've had some of our devotees, they also do Srimad Bhagavatam. I remember one time in London, Prabhupada came and a devotee asked him to do a Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada said okay, and he came, and the first night he spoke, and then he didn't like the hall, and he told a sannyasi disciple, he should go and speak the other nights. But he was ready to do it. And you know, we see like Radha Govinda Maharaj, she was speaking Bhagavad Saptas, he would like to speak on like the Ajameo Leela, and he would talk about levels of chanting the holy name. So we can speak for 7 days on Krishna consciousness, and we can take some aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam and present some of the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness to help people just get a little progress, some benefit, some purification from that. So it's not that we cannot do Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot have Bhagavad Sattas, but we have Bhagavad, we speak of Bhagavatam every day. Not just for 7 days, not just some festival. You know, they have a big festival and do some dramas, and then everybody comes and then you give charity, you give donations. So they put on the Bhagavad Sattva. The motive is simply to collect money. You collect donations and to gather all the gifts that people bring when they do this Bhagavad Sattva. The motive is not to purify the people, not to enlighten them about the message of the Asati.
Realization, they're zero. So what happens to such people? Because they don't even care about realization. They just read recite and tell good things about the scriptures for people. They give instructions to this and that. But when it comes to themselves, personally, they don't have any realization. So what happens to such kind of people and how good or bad they are to others? Oftentimes, I see people having spiritual disasters because of this. Because, oh, I looked up to this person, he was so good and he spoke so well, and he had no realizations of his own. And how can he expect me to have realizations on my own? You know, people are so much into details and not realizations. Why is it so?
Well, realizations will come, may not be that everyone speaks their realizations, but the realizations will certainly come in the course of engaging in devotional service. Just by speaking details, there's some realization there. You cannot say no realization. They're speaking details which are taken from scriptures, authoritative details, then this is realization. They have some understanding, some realization of what is important, what details are important, and what details are helpful for our Krishna consciousness. So you cannot say no realization. Just the fact that they're speaking, there must be some realization there. Otherwise, what they can speak. But they have some realization. They're mentioning, they're describing these details, which they consider to be significant. And if we understand these details, then we will apply them also in our own practice, in our own life. So we're all becoming realized. Yeah, by chanting Hare Krishna, we come to realize more about our own self, our own frailties and shortcomings. And we work to try to improve ourselves. We stay in the Krishna consciousness movement. That is a realization. Just the fact that we're here, we have realization that this is a better place to be. That even though we may not be very good devotees, because we're here in this place, where we understand this is the place where I want to be over all other places. So many other places we could go, but we have that realization that this is the best place to be when it comes to the crunch, when things come down, and this is where we want to be, who we want to be with, and what we want to be doing. So that is realization. I think maybe we'll have to stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.